Well, we're back, and didn't know if you were going to show or not. Is that, I don't know which one of those mics is yours. Pete Ashdown is here. When were you on here last? Was it a year ago?
It was just over a year ago.
Yeah, just about a year ago. So we're going to spend the rest of this morning's program with Pete, PeteAshdown.org. Well, you did bring in a lot of goodies, didn't you? A new senator for a new century. Oh, you even got a cowboy hat sitting on her. Do you really? Is that a real picture? Do you really?
It's not computer generated. It's me riding a horse.
You really ride horses?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you have your own?
No, I don't. I'm too poor to own my own.
Oh gosh, talk about too poor. You know, I had two of them. I had two horses, and they're like 1,500-pound. Teenagers just starting into puberty.
Yeah.
That's what they're like. And so, you know, you have really, really got to love them if you're going to make any progress.
Yeah, and I've already got three kids, so.
None of them are 1,500 pounds.
No.
Okay, good.
Goodness.
They probably eat like 1,500
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. But that way they don't step on your foot. I had one of my horses step on my foot and busticate one of my toes. Cut here if you're a Republican. That's cute. All right. I have some bumper stickers here and some buttons. And all right, so what's happened in the last year since we talked?
It has been an amazing journey. I have put down 20,000 miles going throughout Utah, talking to groups, listening to people, trying to understand what they want to see in government, and I have crafted this campaign based on what they said.
Well, what do they want to see in government?
They want to know that their voice matters. They want to know that when they talk to the representative, they're listening. And instead of this petitioning process that we go through where we write our letters and our emails and make our phone calls, and usually we send a little prayer after it, hoping that it will be listened to, I think there's some new technology out there that I'm quite intimate with that allows people to collaborate and work on these problems together and discern the facts from the rhetoric and get some good solutions out of it. And I've been using that on my website, allowing anyone to come in, not just Democrats, not just my advisors, but anybody who wants to come in and talk about policy and platform and what's happening to this country is welcome to do so. And
where's your office?
It's right downtown on 8th East and South Temple.
Got a big sign out front.
A few.
All right. So, listen, there's only one way you're going to take down the man.
Mm-hmm.
Only one way. You got to have something really provocative going on. You know, to walk around with normal political rhetoric,
yeah.
Like people want answers, people want communication, people want to know someone's there.
Well, you know, I call them silver bullets. I get
okay.
People coming to me all the time saying, "Well, you know, I've got the thing that will take down Orrin Hatch," and you know, it never comes with any facts. It never comes with anything that's really startling.
One of the themes I've tried to use on this program is provocative claims require provocative evidence.
Yeah, absolutely,
absolutely. And I don't mean just some videos. I want to see some affidavits. I want to see undeniable proof of your assertions.
And I've seen it run the gamut.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course I'm not going to repeat any of
no,
it.
No, that's...
But, you know, you talk about... You talk about provocative, and, you know, certainly what's going on in Washington right now is provocative. What is even more provocative to me...
All right.
...is that this Congress that is so intent on monitoring the American people, even to the point of violating the Bill of Rights, cannot even monitor itself. Now, Jack, if I had an afternoon to go into the congressional network room or closet or whatever they use to plug a laptop in, I could tell you what they're doing. I could tell you what they're doing with our money. And I think it would look a lot like what happened in the Department of the Interior. Did you hear about this? The Department of the Interior did a study on internet use of employees in the Department of Interior, and they found people looking at sex.
Well, that was the number one thing.
Yeah.
Coast to coast in America, let alone our own congressional representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sex, gambling, sports, auction sites. They could save 50 full-time jobs in the Department of the Interior if people were only doing their job. And I say the same thing's going on in the United States Congress, and they should be the first people we should be monitoring. Well. I mean, I don't monitor my employees, I'll admit that, because they're doing their job. They're doing a great job for me. And I don't want to be peering over their shoulder every time if they're actually out there working.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, the people in Washington are not doing the job. They're falling down on immigration. They're falling down on energy policy. They're falling down on health care. They're falling down on this war.
And well, yeah. See, now, you're running on the Democratic ticket, and the Democrats are every bit as guilty as Republicans
are.
Oh,
absolutely.
For this war. I mean, and then if you... When you win...
Thank you.
Okay. When you win, and you go back there, you have to join that exclusive Democratic clique that's back there. And they're going to expect you to play the game.
Well, here's the thing, Jack, is that I have not received 1 ounce of help from the National Democrats. And I've gone back to see them. I've gone back to talk to them. And I've even challenged them. You know, you guys, I think I have a great platform here. I think openness and transparency is essential in government. And I've been publishing my calendar online for people to see who I'm meeting with and what I'm doing in the course of this campaign. And I went back and challenged them. I said, you guys ought to do this. You guys ought to pick up on this and lead by example instead of point the finger at the Republicans all the time. And they didn't buy it. They gave me excuses. But here's the thing, Jack. If I am elected, when I am elected, just imagine what's going to happen inside the Democratic Party. The one thing the Democrats have done well over the past few decades is lose races. They don't know how to win races. And I think it's their disingenuous approach to American policy. It's the pointing the finger at the Republicans, and I'm not doing that. I'm out there showing a better way.
I got to be the devil's advocate here. I can just see you walking into Washington and meeting with some Democratic leaders. I don't know who you mean, Harry Reid or
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
or
no, I'm not thinking of her. I'm thinking of the chairman.
John Kerry, Hillary Clinton,
okay,
I mean,
so
the
you
usual
go back
suspects.
And meet these people, and they're going to say, Utah, Garn. I mean, Garn. Hatch. And they're going to say something like, Pete, you might as well be running against God himself. You haven't got a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah, that's the way they look at it.
Yeah, that's exactly how they look at it. So they're going to say, well, we think the race over here or over there is a little bit more wise investment than helping you out there in Utah. If you can win, hey, God bless you, but my gosh, you're going up against God himself.
Yeah. That's the way they look at it. They look at these swing state races. I mean, it's the same thing in presidential races. It's why Utah gets ignored in presidential races by both parties. Why bother?
Well, sure, because certainly by the time Texas's electoral votes are counted,
yeah,
it's all over with. Who cares about Utah's three?
Yeah, absolutely. But I have a...
But you've got just as powerful a vote.
Right.
As Boxer or Feinstein does.
That's true. Oh, there we go.
All right. Quick break. If you have questions or comments for Pete, 254-58-55. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Jack Stockwell on K-Talk. AM 630 KTKK.
Oh, thanks a lot, Samantha. Sorry. Getting filled in on all the dirt here. Not really. All right, Chad. Chad, hey, you're on the Stockwell Show.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Fabulous.
Pete, it's wonderful to hear from you. Listen, I've got a question. I went and saw Freedom to Fascism last night at the Tower Theater. Have you seen it, Jack?
Well, yes, I have.
Good night. I've made the decision after watching this that I will not elect or I will not vote for anyone unless they are committed to stand up to the Federal Reserve. And I wonder if Pete Ashdown is willing to do that.
Well, I haven't seen the movie yet, Chad, so I'm not sure exactly what columns they're talking about the Federal Reserve. But
I wonder.
I think the principal focus.
Hello.
The principal focus of my campaign is standing up for the people.
Oh, I guess maybe I lost you.
No. I'm
okay.
Sorry, Pete. Go ahead. I just
don't
repeat that.
Okay. Chad, I haven't seen the movie yet, so I'm not sure exactly what aspects
okay
of the Federal Reserve is the problem.
Wait,
but.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm sorry to cut you off, sir. Tonight's the last showing. It's at 7 and 9, and it's the most important film for anyone, actually, to any American to see. And I highly respect you. I'm totally stoked for you, and we're pushing for you.
Thank you, Chad.
Do us all a huge favor. Go see this movie and judge for yourself what's going on. And I got to get back to the set. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
All right.
Back to the set.
Got a movie industry in Utah.
Yes, we do. We do. Now, when they're talking about, I don't want to sidetrack anything, or freedom to fascism, it just gets into the fact, you know, within the IRS, there's no clear-cut law inside the IRS that you got to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's several other things. The RFID identification chip, the national identification papers of 2008. Yeah. We'll all have to be carrying national papers. You started off talking about this, about the intrusion of the government into our life. But, you know, listen, your party is going along with this. They're screaming now, and I don't trust what anybody says at this point a month or 5 weeks or so before the election anyway, because they'll say anything they can. You accept it, of course.
Thank you.
But the Military Commissions Act 2006, 2 weeks ago, Dems were all for it. The $68 billion that was voted for a week before that to extend the cost of the Iraq War, 98-0 in the Senate.
Yeah.
So, my goodness, man.
Nobody's standing up.
No.
Nobody's standing up. There's no courage. There's no leadership. I believe firmly.
No leadership. That's for
sure. There's no leadership in the Democratic Party. There hasn't been probably since Kennedy. I would argue that.
That's probably true. You'd probably have to go back that far.
Right. And I'm not...
Well, Clinton was able to muster some support.
Agreed.
And his crimes aren't anything like the current administration.
Well, certainly. But I think needs to be reminded about Clinton is that he won on a plurality. He didn't win by a majority.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I question whether there's people debate this with me. I question personally whether he would have been able to win if there was no Ross Perot. Because Ross Perot took Democrats, but he also took a lot of Republicans.
Well, he even admitted that no one in the country was more surprised than he was that he won.
Yeah.
The first election.
Right.
Yeah, they were just trying to make a... They were just on a road trip, the ultimate multi-month party.
Right.
And he really didn't think they had a chance of winning.
Right.
But it's the Perot factor, sure.
But I think what is more important to look at is approval ratings. You look at approval ratings of presidents going back to Kennedy, and guess who had the highest approval rating?
Kennedy.
Kennedy. Because he was out there showing a vision for America. He was showing true leadership. He was showing... innovative programs like the space program, which was also part of Eisenhower's doing. And he was also establishing things like the Peace Corps, ways that we can shine the American light across the world.
Yes.
Ways that we can get people on our side, win the hearts and minds, so to speak. And I have not been inspired by Clinton's leadership, but I'm still inspired by Kennedy's leadership.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've always been... always been a fan of his anyway. Ali, you're on the Stockwell Show.
Yes, good morning. I would like to thank Mr. Ashnor, and I hope he'll win. I really do. And that's nothing against Mr. Hatch, but I think we are due for some new blood and a new thinking. I have a question for Mr. Ashnor, and is that in Utah, very much, if you are familiar with like the world and you look at Utah itself, you will find that there is no separation between the three powers, the legislators, justice, and the executive branch. What are your plan to make it clear this is legislator and it's independent, and this is justice and it is independent too, and that the executive branch try to do the best they could with regard, for example, to organizational racism, which one of the last states in here is Utah, really.
Now, Ali, you're covering a lot of territory there. Now, you're talking about the fact that there's no real distinction between the three branches of government, and then you're jumping into racism. Give me a question.
Okay, the question is, how can you hold anybody accountable of the three branches, for example?
Good
they
question.
Agree if those three branches in the state, if they are in parallel regarding an issue, for example, racism. Like, they do not even recognize there is racism, all the three branches. So how can you create that kind of independence and of thinking to address the issue?
And let me, Ali, I want to open up that line. Thanks for the question. We'll get him to answer that. I want to talk about in light of a particular example that Ali brought to my attention the other day of a Canadian citizen who is Syrian-born.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, and got picked up by the FBI in New York.
On the advice of the Mounted Police,
yes,
the Royal Mounted Police.
On his way to Canada and sent back to Syria, where he was imprisoned, tortured, and everything else. He's back in Canada again now. But there's no doubt that there's a lot of profiling going on in the country right now. You've got our intelligence services running nuts, and anybody that has any, I don't want to be so, yeah, I'm not going to say that, but anybody who has any connection with the Arab world whatsoever, religion, political, social, whatever, are being earmarked, groups are being constantly watched, who have been loyal Americans for a decade or more, suddenly they're suspicious. The old Korematsu case of Japanese internment, all this kind of stuff. I think that's what he wants to know, because he can't see any distinction between these branches of government anymore in the way they should supervise one another activity, the judicial, legislative, and executive, and how there's this growing racist trend in America.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Korematsu and the internment camps we had right here in Utah. Because we have a group of people in Washington that are calling for victory in Iraq. We have to have victory. Victory is so essential. And I look at what was required for victory in World War II, and I don't think people remember what was required for victory in World War II. And I think those internment camps were not necessary, but it happened. And it will happen again if we're not careful in the United States. Look at the casualties in World War II. You know, America lost 400,000 troops in World War II, and that was a tragedy in itself. But there were 62 million deaths in World War II. 62 million. We would have not been able to take Germany if it hadn't have been for 10 million Soviet troops on the Eastern Front.
Sure.
Now, is that what we're asking for military victory in the Mideast? Because if that's what we're asking for, we're going to go in, and it's not going to be just Iraq. It's going to be Iran. It's going to be Syria. It's going to be Saudi Arabia. It's going to be Afghanistan. It's going to be Pakistan.
And now North Korea.
North Korea. I mean, it's going to be another global war.
Sure.
Nuclear weapons will be considered, and they will probably be used. And there will be deaths.
Well, all the original signers. Sure. All the original signers of the Non-Proliferation Treaty have now all done exactly, followed the role we've started 2 years ago with the development of more advanced nuclear weapons. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we're not moving towards a more peaceful world by any means.
And we're not leading by example either.
Well, no. Well, we are, just not in the right direction.
Right.
But we are leading.
we're leading by an example.
And that's my issue here with the Democratic Party, is that they're just as bad.
I agree, Jack.
They're just as complicit.
I'm not running by their playbook. I'm running by what I've heard from people in Utah, what I've heard collected from people off the Internet, Americans off the Internet, this discontent that they have with politics. I share that discontent. When I started this race, I wanted to run as a candidate that I would feel comfortable voting for. And that's what I've tried to do. That has been my philosophy throughout this race. And it has shaped my campaign. It has shaped the collaboration policy of my campaign. It shaped the openness and the transparency that I think is so essential in good government. And that's what I'm doing.
All right, we're going to take a break. Melody, we will be with you in a moment. One local line is available, 254-5855. I will try to squeeze all your questions on in the remaining few minutes as possible with Pete here. Pete Ashdown, candidate for the U.S. Senate, running against, of course, Senator Hatch. We'll be right back.
Jack Stockwell on K-Talk. AM 630 KTKK.
Know that. That's interesting, too. All right, we're back. Just a few minutes left. I will ask you people to be as brief as you can. Melody in Utah Valley.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good, good.
Good. You know, I'm a fan of Scott Bradley, but you sound really, really wonderful, and I'm really impressed. But I'm afraid for you or Scott, either one of you winning, that you get a whack job when you get back there.
Well, the first thing they'll do when Pete gets back there is they'll put this big old pot over his head with a bunch of wires going into it. He'll come out of that meeting half an hour later, you know,
totally
sounding
changed.
Like Joe Biden.
Yeah, really, yeah. Totally changed. It's just that when you start rubbing shoulders and groveling in the pit, so much of that junk rubs up on you that I mean, so many good men have gone, and so many good men have been changed.
Right, I agree, and I think that question gets asked to me a lot when I'm out on the trail. You know, you sound great now, but what's going to stop you from being corrupted when you go back there?
Yeah.
I want people to know that if they want to know what kind of senator I will be, look at what kind of businessman I have been. For the past decade, I've run my company X Mission in the way I felt was appropriate for my customers, for my employees, and my community, and considering their needs first before my own. I have been offered many offers to sell, many very lucrative offers to sell my company that would have benefited me in the short term but would have been lousy for everybody else. And I argue that it's much easier to sell your business than receive the acclaim from the community and selling your business and walk away with several million dollars than it is to sell out in Washington. And that's what integrity is about. I have demonstrated integrity in running my business and supporting this community, supporting my employees, and that's what I'm going to demonstrate in Washington as well.
Okay, well, what is your company, and what is your website?
My website is peteashdown.org.
Now,
that's
Ashdown is spelled?
A-S-H-D-O-W-N. And my company is a company called X Mission, X-M-I-S-S-I-O-N, where we were Utah's first internet service provider, and we are the largest internet independent internet service provider in the state.
Okay, so it's peteashdown.com?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Melody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's get on here. Claire, you're on the Stockwell Show.
Hi. I'm really excited to vote for you, Pete, but I'm terribly worried about these electronic voting machines not counting my vote.
Yeah, I am too.
Are you really?
I am. You know, when it comes to...
You know, because I asked you that a year ago, and you kind of weren't really sure, but you obviously looked into it.
Yeah, when it comes to voting, I'm a Luddite. I have to confess, Jack, that over the past year, after looking into it deeply and seeing what has happened in the past year, I don't know why Herbert selected Diebold of all the choices.
Yes.
But I think we need to go back to paper and pencil for voting.
Oh, yeah.
And what really convinced me is a story out of Canada. Canada has national elections, and they decentralize their votes. So instead of all the votes going to their respective counties and being counted, they have the precincts count the votes.
Yes.
And they have a bipartisan group. Yes. Everybody is welcome to the table to make sure everything's great. And they're able to count the vote off paper ballot for a national election in 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is no excuse.
We have done that historically in this country for centuries now.
There is no excuse for these electronic machines.
No.
They are complex. They're making it more complex, and it's the accountability's gone out the window.
I appreciate your view on this, and I sure hope that people will wake
all right,
up
Claire.
To this.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
Thank you, Claire.
But what can you do about it?
Go back and repeal the HAVA,
the
Help America Vote Act.
How much money Diebold, the brothers, have given to the Republican
Unbelievable.
Party.
Yeah. And I don't know what it takes in America to declare a conflict of interest. You know,
well, if I have a theme on my show, Pete, it's this, that industry owns Congress.
Yeah. And I have.
And so there's the ultimate conflict of interest.
I've taken a similar approach in my campaign as far as receiving donations from PACs and receiving donations from corporate groups. I've tried to get those donations from individuals. And I've raised about $100,000. Of course, it's completely overshadowed by Hatch's $4 million, but I'm much more proud of the money I've received from individuals than from going out and soliciting corporate groups, going out and talking to corporations and trying to get their board of directors to each give me the $2,100 each.
Yeah. Well, so what's next? What do you, I mean, you know, other than you're through walking the road?
No. Or actually, my wife and I and my third child, my kids are staying in school, of course, are going on a final statewide tour. As I've said, I've put down 20,000 miles already. But we're going to go on a final statewide tour to hit all these towns that I haven't been to yet this next week. It's very important that if you support my campaign or if you're interested in my campaign, please go to the website. But if you support my campaign, tell somebody. Email everybody on your email list. I firmly believe that that is what is going to save American politics, is person-to-person networking over the Internet. It's what has built built companies like Google and eBay and Yahoo.
Well, I think it's one of the reasons why we're still free.
Yeah.
Second Amendment and the Internet.
And the reporting, of course, is overriding the mainstream media. Blogs have been something that's come up in the last year that has really come onto the scene as far as getting the truth out there. I believe the Internet is going to save this country.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, Jack.
All right.